We have Heart for His House weekend coming up in just a few weeks, Vision Sunday next week. And we're going to be planting those seeds and begin to prepare your heart for what God is doing. Come on, I'm excited about what's happening with Deer Creek, with the launch of the new location. Are you thrilled about that? Come on. We have to invest now, the time, the energy, the preparation, and we're going to see a great harvest in the days ahead. So this is the final experience of Revival 2017. Come on, if you missed out, I'm telling you, you missed out on a powerful time, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, 8:30, 10 o'clock, and now we're final one, the 11:30. It has been absolutely over the top, incredible. Lives transformed, people encouraged, built up in their faith, and you're getting ready for one more time, one more experience. And the speaker we have is Michael French. Michael French is the husband of one wife, which is good. Marsha has an amazing family, grandkids. Do we have that picture? I didn't plan on showing it this experience, but if we do have the family picture, we can throw it up on the screen. But we have the family that is all dressed up in the wrong t-shirts. I just had to show it because we have such a new audience here. I love Michael in spite of some of his choices in life. what a great man of God and a blessing he is in my life. He travels the world. He specifically does missions efforts in Russia, namely Siberia, but all over the country, and is touching thousands of lives. And there is a spirit of revival that's happening in lives. People are, by the hundreds and thousands of people, are coming to Jesus Christ and making Him Lord and Savior in Russia. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to Michael spelled M-I-K-E-L, French.org, to find out more about what God is doing. And I'm just thrilled to be able to have him here. And I wanted to break down his name just real quick and give you a feel of who this man is. The M is for miracles that he is expecting in your life. How many want a miracle today? The I is for inspiring word that you're going to receive. The K is for he knows Jesus is the hope and the only hope for whatever you may be facing in your life. The E is for equip. He wants to equip you with the word of God and point you to the power of the Holy Spirit that will help you in your life. And the L, he expects and believes that the great command of loving God and loving people is the answer to the life. And I want you to give a great big welcome. Then here's the thing. We're not just for Michael. We're going to stand to our feet and we're going to clap and be excited for the word of God, because it's the word of God that will not return void. It's the word of God that will remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God. And I want us to stand and show our excitement for the word of God that's about to come when Michael French preaches. Would you give it up right now and stand to your feet? Welcome Michael French.
More for Jesus. Come on, give it up for Jesus. Let out a shout all across this place. Please remain standing for a few moments. Before I read the scripture, which I'd like for you to stand for, also turn to two people and say, "You're beautiful. I see Jesus in you. Thanks for standing next to me today." Please remain standing. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of romance. The book of romance in the New Testament. How many of you thought you knew exactly what book I was talking about at first? How many of you have a clue what the book of romance is in the New Testament? It's the Revelation. Open your Bibles, your smartphones, your dumb phones, to the Revelation. Now, before we begin to read, I want you to listen to me. The Revelation is the book of romance in the New Testament. Chapter 1, the glorious groom. chapter 2 and chapter 3, the immature bride. Chapter 4, the war for the bride in the end time. When you see the words of Revelation 1, he has fire in his eyes. See, most people say that's to be feared until you understand that fire is not about fear, it's about passion. A moment ago, Pastor showed you a picture of my family and my wife and son and daughter-in-law and the three most beautiful grandchildren that have ever been born on planet Earth. It's all right, you can believe that about yours, even though what I said was true. That redhead that was standing next to me, her name is Marcia. In March, we will have been married 44 years. And as of yesterday, the fire was still in my eyes that I had the first time I ever saw her. See, when you understand fire in the eyes of a man for his bride, I know that when I arrive home, she's going to plant the biggest kiss on me. She's going to put her arms around me and say, "Welcome home, baby." And it's not going to be a smack, it's going to be a kiss. You know why? I have fire in my eyes. See, when you understand God's passion for you, everything changes. All of Christianity is about fire. You were born for fire. You were born for passion. But until you understand how the fire is to burn, what you may be living in is false fire. You were born for passion. Passion produces pursuit. And passion produces the ability to go after something. If you have passion, but you're not going after it, what you have is not a vision, it's just a daydream. Every believer is to have passion. In the first service, and it's going to be the title of this message, Go Big, Believe. Everyone say, Go Big. Shout believe. Believe. So if I say go big, you shout. Believe. If I say go big, you shout. Believe. Now, please open your Bibles to the Revelation, the third chapter. As you're turning there, I want to give you a couple of statements. Many people will tell you passion will not last. Therefore, they say that disqualifies you. I need to give you a thought. A shower will not last. But most of us are thankful you still take showers. Just because something doesn't last doesn't mean it's disqualified. It just means you have to renew it. How many know this weekend has been about renewing your passion for God? Intelligence without passion is heartlessness. Passion without intelligence is brainlessness. Oh, I thought that was so good. I think I'll repeat both of them. Intelligence without passion is heartlessness. Passion without intelligence is brainlessness. Now please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Revelation, the book of romance. The first of the seven churches in Revelation 2, the church at Ephesus is the church that Mary, the mother of Jesus, attends. John the Baptist is the Bible teacher. Timothy, the greatest young preacher of the New Testament, sounds to me like the pastor of this church. How many are thankful for your pastor and his lovely wife? I want to publicly thank you for the invitation to be here. It is truly a privilege to be a part of what God is doing in this congregation. And I've listened and watched every one of the experiences. And I want to say, last night in my hotel room, as the worship team was singing and that one young man hit those high notes, all of a sudden I jumped up in my hotel room and went, "Woo!" How many of you are thankful for the worship team of this church? And how many of you know without a good sound man, no matter how good they are, they won't sound good? I'm thankful for those back there in the media department. Now, I want you to follow with me because in the first church, get this, church at Ephesus, they've left their first love. Woo! How in the world can you be at the church that Mary, the mother of Jesus, attends and lose your first love? And now we get to the seventh church, the church of Laodicea, and please begin with Revelation 3. Let's begin with verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. When you go down a few verses, it tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will come and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. What's wrong with this picture? Jesus is to be the center of the church. He is to be the form, the function, the focus of the church. But instead of Jesus being at the center, look at the picture. He's on the outside of his church, knocking on the door, trying to get somebody's attention. What is the idol that has replaced Jesus? The idol that has replaced Jesus is complacency. Now, how can you have complacency and get away with it unless you substitute a spiritual word for it? See, what we do in modern times is we substitute the word complacency for the word faithfulness. Do you have passion for Jesus? No, but I'm faithful. No, you're not. You're boring. See, faithful is full of faith, and part of being full of faith is being consistent. But faithful means there's passion that is there. You're alive. Father, give us wisdom and the ability to discern good from evil, and we will praise you for it, Jesus. You may be seated, everyone in this room. Over the next few moments, go big. When it comes to the Sooners, everybody says, go Sooners! After that win, that was way too mild a response. For pastors' benefit, go Cowboys. You know, in both services, the Cowboys were better. Go Thunder. Go big. Go big. We're now looking at lukewarmness. The Bible says he would that we were hot or cold. Now, see, growing up and hearing this message preached on a regular basis, this is usually what was interpreted. God wants you red hot on fire or cold and lost and on your way to hell. The only problem with that is nowhere else in Scripture does God commend us to be lost and on our way to hell. When you see the word cold here, it's only used one other time in the Bible, and it's in the book of Mark when it says giving a cup of cold water in his name. For the word cold is talking about fresh and refreshing. God is saying, I either want you red hot, able to deal with the darkness and the coldness of hell, or I want you fresh and prepared for the moment. We live in a world filled with the fires of lasciviousness, the darkness of hell. But how many know God is raising up a church on fire that can melt the powers of darkness? And please hear me, we have nothing to fear, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Everyone say amen. Amen. When you understand complacency, it's a gradual thing. Lukewarmness, gradual, decreasing in temperature. It's like the temperature goes down so slow that you're not even aware that it's grown cold. It seems to be normal it happened so long. Complacency means a feeling or a place of quiet self-satisfaction, a spirit of slumber, a stupor, dullness, unaware of the problem, of the imminent state of danger. Complacency is the first idol that comes between us and God. Complacency is not a sudden chill. It's a subtle frost. Complacency robs us of the fire, the zeal, the excitement, the intense desire to pray, to witness to others, to hunger for the word of God. Lukewarm. Slowly I become lukewarm, complacent, the spirit of cowardice. where I am of no use to the kingdom of God, and it keeps me from the power of the resurrection in my life. I'd like for you to write down three straightforward points this morning in this message. How do we deal with the idol of complacency? Number one, you have to learn to stir up the fire. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, stir up the gift that is in you, that was given you by the laying on of hands, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now please notice what Paul writes to Timothy. You stir it up. See, when we get cold or lukewarm in our spirit, we want the pastor to stir it up. We want the worship team to stir it up. We want somebody to lay hands on us fly through the air for 20 feet and come up changed. The problem is, God says, if you don't have passion, if you have complacency, you need to begin to stir it up inside of you. I don't know about you, but the fire that is in his eyes, that is love for me, I want to respond to him. I want to love him. I want to adore him. Somebody please shout. Amen. Stir up the fire. Stir up yourself. You have to do it. This weekend is here literally for the power of God to come in and stir us up. Prayer is a must, but prayer must be mixed with action. Everyone say, stir it up. Stir it up. Go big. Stir it up. Number two, fill it up. You have to stir up the fire, but you have to fill up with fresh fuel. Paul writes, ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. We need his freshness every day. Now, I want you to write this down. Stir up the old fire, fill up with fresh fuel. Let me say that again. You stir up the old, you fill up with the new. The problem is when the church stirs up the new and fills up with the old. I'm not sure you got that. See, the longer you are a believer, the more you reject new and you hang on to what you already know. You hang on to the time when you had passion. If you want to keep the passion of God being renewed, you stir up the fire, but the fire will go out if you don't put fresh fuel on the fire. See, a lot of folks want to stir it up, but all they want to stir up and say, well, I don't know about these churches today. They got screens up there, and look at all these people. We've even got comfortable seats. Listen, I'm so old, I can remember when drums were a sin in church. I know my socks are older than most of the people in this room. But what we've done is, see, whatever you were saved at, that awakened your passion. And now what you have is not spirituality, you have sentimentality. And a lot of churches, instead of having fresh passion for God, if you talk about the old days, they get sentimental and believe that's spiritual. You're not helping me. I thought that was so good. And I watch it all. I will give you an illustration to help you understand. I'm at home where I am right now. I now live over in Broken Arrow and travel all over the world. But how do I explain this to you? I went to high school in this not far from here, Northwest Classen. I was born in Guthrie. How many of you know where Coyle is? I mean, that's small. Garber, Oklahoma. I'm used to being from this area of the world. I love this area of the world. But now you got to get this. This is very important. Not long ago, I went down near North 10th, which is where I lived when I was 12, and went over to the little grade school. And then I went over to the house, and the house where I was lived in, they tore it down. And when they tore it down, I stood there, and all of a sudden, I found myself crying. I remembered when we used to run out the upstairs window on top of the garage roof and go down the back and come out, and our mom caught us doing it. And I'm standing there, and it's really feeling nice. It's kind of overwhelming, the emotions of it. And I thought, Lord, am I having a spiritual experience here? And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're just being sentimental. See, the longer you are a believer, the more sentimental you are. And you miss the moment. you miss the power. See, Paul says, learn how to stir up the gift that is in you, that was given you by the laying on of hands. But please hear me, we don't live in the past. The past is not the answer to the future. He is God of the past, it is settled, but he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am in love with Jesus. The world comes, the world goes, but he is the one who changes our life. Everyone say, stir it up, fill it up. Everyone say, fed up. I have a no-tolerance policy for complacency. 2 weeks from today, I will begin preaching my 50th year. The Sunday after Thanksgiving will be my 49th anniversary since my first message. And out of it, I'm crazy. I can't explain to you how much I love Jesus, and I do not understand believers who live in complacency. You know why? Because I have a no-tolerance policy about complacency. Everyone say, stir it up, fill it up, fed up. Until you come to the place that you keep stirring up the fire and filling up with fresh fuel, nothing will change. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Life without passion for Christ has no purpose, and you have no reason to be on the planet. That was a little strong, wasn't it, Pastor? Didn't get any amens whatsoever. You know, when you're dealing with complacency, lukewarmness, the spirit of cowardice, can almost come at any time in a person's life. Thank you. We're getting ready to receive an offering, and you all are going to give. Anybody who doesn't buy my book as you leave today, I'm here. No tolerance. There is a very extraordinary verse, area of scripture in the Old Testament. The people of God have just seen the greatest miracles outside of the resurrection in existence. You can be right next door to a move of God and backslide. You can see the divine power of God. The people of God have been in slavery for 10 generations. God brings a leader by the name of Moses to the people, and for 1 year, miracle after miracle, 12 miracles, and finally, God supernaturally delivers his people from the bondage and slavery of the past. As they leave the nation, they come to the Red Sea and God parts the Red Sea. They walk across on dry ground. The Egyptian army pursues them. Can you imagine going through the Red Sea on dry ground when you get across, the Egyptian army is pursuing you, and you stand there and see the walls collapse and the Egyptian army drowned. You've watched the power of God as the death angel passes through Egypt. You've seen the deliverance of the miracles of God. They now get out in the wilderness and God speaks to Moses to take him on top of the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments and the law. And while he's up there, God says to him, get down from here. The people are in rebellion. Now get this. They are standing and can see the glory of God right there. And when it comes down, brother, could you come here and help me a second? Would you hold that and get the bowl back for me, please? And the people are worshiping a golden calf. Now, this is the hardest part. They are giving that gold calf credit for all the miracles. When I was a teenager, I was very rebellious. I ran away from God. My father was a pastor. Can I tell you, I've done some bad things that haunt me. But one thing I've never done, I've never given the devil credit for what God did. Can you imagine that? See, that's what a life is without passion. You were born for passion. You were born for fire. Not only did they give calf credit, but then get this. They literally took the gold that Egypt had given them in leaving, the blessing of God. They gave the calf credit for the miracles, and then the blessing of God, they used it to create the idol. Do you know why? All of us are uncomfortable with intimacy. You know why? Because intimacy is about trust giving control to someone else. I don't know about you, but I like driving. When I go to sit in a crowd, I always want the end seat. You know why? Because I trust me. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. And this is the insanity of it. He literally comes down and goes, here, what's going on? And Aaron says, it's a miracle. What do you mean it's a miracle? Well, we had this pot of gold and the calf, it just came up. Now, I know that was a lie, but that is the key to losing passion. It just came up. Everyone out loud say, it just came up. Well, did you pray this week? Well, I wanted to pray this week, but it just. Well, did you give this week? Well, I needed to, but I needed tires on the car. What can I say? Something just. Well, did you worship God? Did you get to church on time? Well, I wanted to, but something just. Well, this week, I did you witness to somebody? You know, I wanted to, but something just. It just came up. Isn't that the description for vomit? I put it in my mouth, I chewed it, but I would that you were hot or cold. But because you were lukewarm, I put you in my mouth. I wanted to bring revival. I wanted to bring a move of the Holy Spirit, but you didn't have time. You had other things going on. It just. You can't wipe over vomit. You got to deal with it. The greatest thing that I have learned in my life that I have to fight is complacency. Not the devil, not darkness, not doubt, complacency, a routine. You know why? Because they're, you know, when I get home, the trash is going to have to be taken out. And your routine, I mean, tomorrow morning when I get out of bed, I will have a routine of reading the word and praying. See, when the routine becomes ritual, what you have is the spirit of cowardice. Let me say it again, and I'm going to give it to you in a straightforward. Go big. Believe. You say, what's so important about this believe stuff? Revelation 21 and 8 says, the cowardly, the lukewarm, the complacent, and the unbelievers will be in hell. We know about the whoremongers and the liars and the Hitlers. Unbelieving cowards. What are cowards? They're people that are neither hot nor cold. I just make sure I survive. Wow. You should have come to the earlier service. It was a happier service. In just a moment, I'm going to take this baseball bat, and I am going to literally do what Moses did. He literally shattered that thing. He said, hold it, I have a no-tolerance policy. I don't know if I'm just dreaming too big. This is a phrase that I love. If you want people to think big, you have to give them something big to think about. We live in this routine. All of my life, every time I've seen a major move of God, it broke routine. People said, hold it, this isn't enough. I got to have more. When you have fire in your eyes, you got to have more. The ability to reach out, stir it up. Can I tell you, stirring it up isn't always the best place because some folks don't want you stirring it up. We're in a time in America where somebody is saying, let's not stir it up. I'm telling you, it's time in this nation that the church of the living God starts stirring the fire, get past the ash, and get down to the red hot coals of God's glory. And hear me, we've got to have a fresh outpouring of the fire of the Holy Ghost. God, pour it on. We need more. We need fresh fuel for this hour. But you're not going to get it until you shatter it. Everyone stand to your feet with me, please. Put everything out of your hands. You know, the service before you were fanatical. Service before us, there was no empty room anywhere across this and down every aisle. People coming and saying, I cannot tolerate where I've once been. My thoughts aren't right with God. My attitudes aren't right with God. My words aren't right with God. My decisions aren't right with God. My attitudes aren't right with God. My actions. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something very unusual. I want you to take your left hand and reach it toward the cow, please. Now, take your other hand and reach it toward heaven. And everyone out loud, pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, when Mike French hits that cow, bust me up with your glory. I want you to see that cow as you. See, today we don't have golden cows. We just paint ourselves. Our house, our cars, our job. When I hit that cow, I'm going to ask you to be honest enough with me to leave your seat and come and stand across this front and say, I want God to bust me up with his glory. Or you can walk out, you can leave, you've got other things to do, it's going to be a full day. But will you be honest enough to say, I want my passion renewed? You can put your hand down. When I hit the cow, if you want a fresh touch of God's glory and you see complacency in you, complacency in your thoughts, complacency in your attitudes, complacency in your words, complacency in your decisions, complacency in your actions. I'm asking everyone in this room to be honest with me. Are you on fire for God? Do you know what the difference between someone who is 2% sold out to God and someone who's 98% sold out to God? Nothing. He has fire in his eyes for you. He's wanting you to respond to him. I don't know if it'll be one person or the whole front will be filled. But I'm asking you today, do you want your passion renewed for God? If you do, in a moment when I smash that cow, keep coming in closer. Stir up the fire. Would you begin to lift your hands and just worship Him? Come on, lift your eyes higher. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth.
I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Oh, revival. Revival. Lord, we need revival. Oklahoma City needs revival. Lord, this church is in a move of God. Lord, awaken your grace. Awaken your faith. Lord, by your power and your anointing. Lord, we praise you. Jesus. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Put your hand on your heart, please. First of all, I hope you will take time to watch the first service, or the middle service, I should say. And I pray that you will share both of them with hundreds, if not thousands, of people. There is a war in this nation, and the war is for your words and for what you believe. And your heart is literally the soil that gives birth to what you believe. Please hear me. Your words are about the atmosphere around you. Your words create your present atmosphere and prophesy your future. What you believe is the soil of the heart of who you are. And when your heart is on fire, please hear me, what you believe is the soil of passion. What you believe is the soil of love, the soil of faith. Your life is a seed that is planted in what you believe, and that brings the harvest. Now please hear me. In a moment I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and after I lead you in the prayer, I'm going to ask you to literally get fanatical. I'm going to ask you to fill this room with words. What kind of words? The words of worship. We're not here about golden calves. We're about the one who sits on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. That's why we're here. That's why this church exists. That's why this pastor has been used of God. You know, I told you I've listened to all the videos this week. The first one I watched was of your pastor preaching. When I heard his message last Sunday, I said, God, you got to help me. That, how many know your pastor knows how to preach the word? I'm sitting watching him preach, and I said to my wife, I said, baby, we've known Ronnie. This is the first time I've ever heard you preach. When I grow up, can I be as smart as he is? But as I sat there listening to him, I know you're hungry for a new season, and that season of growth will come out of passion. The reason this church exists is because of the passion that was birthed in you two's hearts. And you know you don't want to go there without that passion. And that cry that is going on inside of you, that you want a church that demonstrates passion for Jesus, that the entire Oklahoma City, Edmond, all around says, those people are crazy for Jesus. Those people are on fire for Jesus. That's what God wants for the next season of what's happening here. Oh, I saw one say that in the first service. Put your hand on your heart. Holy God, forgive me, I'm about to behave like a Pentecostal. It doesn't mean I get weird, I just get loud. Now I'm serious. I want you to explain to the powers of darkness that there is a church here who believes in the glory of God and the atmosphere that can change anything. That in that atmosphere, nothing, 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 nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible to those who believe. Everyone out loud, pray, Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. I surrender my life to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who died on the cross, but he is not dead. He is alive. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has forgiven me of my sins. By his grace, I am a child of God. I love you, Jesus. Lift your voice, lift your hands, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, shatter the darkness. Shatter the lie. Lift up your voice. Let everything that hath breath, if you need God problems, praise him. If you need help, praise him. I was born to invite people to come to Christ. It's amazing how you can never know something until it happens. As I said to you, I will begin my 50th year of preaching in 2 weeks. In 1992, I went to a place called Irkutsk, next to Lake Baikal in Russia. I'd never met a Russian in my entire life. I was invited into the mayor's office with all of the mayors of Siberia, of cities of over 1 million people. That mayor said to me, "You are the first person that will ever be given permission to publicly preach Jesus and to make converts in this city, in its history." I've now been to Russia 120 times. The National Russian Church has gone from 61 churches in 1991 to 3,100 registered churches and 1,100 unregistered churches. The first night I preached in Irkutsk, I preached 12 minutes. And then I asked people how many wanted to receive Jesus Christ. And everyone in the room stood up but 10 people. It so confused me, I made them all sit back down and preach 20 minutes longer. And the second time I gave the invitation, the other 10 stood up. I guess they thought I wouldn't stop until everybody stood up. See, there are three types of people standing here. There are those standing here who love Jesus with all your heart. If you died before this altar call, you would have been in heaven 10 minutes before the devil knew you were gone. Then there's a second group of people. You love God, but you don't know. There is nothing worse than loving someone and not knowing. It is the greatest torment in existence. Then there's a third group of people, and you're lost. You know you'd split hell wide open from what you did last night. This morning, what you looked at before you got here. This week. You can lift your hands and praise God and cuss somebody out before you get out of the parking lot. There's some of you standing here who are lost. Doesn't make you any better or worse than me. I was just a sinner who got saved. In a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask how many of you that are in those two categories you do not know, or you're lost. In the last service, I don't know, 30, 40, maybe 50 people lifted their hands that they were not prepared for heaven. I'm asking you, do you have the courage to lift your hand and say, Michael? You say, what will people think? See, that's the problem. You're worried about what people think. My question is, what will God think if you don't lift your hand? Is there somebody in this room that important that you can't lift your hand? Please lift your hand. Don't make Pastor Rodney follow you in the parking lot. I'm going to count to three. And I give altar calls where guns are pointed at me, so I keep my eyes open. Do you have the courage when I count to three to say, Michael, pray for me? I don't know. Michael, pray for me. I'm lost. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He is crazy about you. He's waiting for this moment. Something will break in your heart the moment you lift that hand. But do you have the courage? The courage. Well, I'll do it when I get to the car. So you'll have more courage when you're in the car alone with the devil. Because until you get it right with God, he's still hanging with you. But right now we have open altars, open hearts, open arms, open aisles, and you can't lift your hand? Why? Because you're afraid of people? I'm going to count to three. If you're not right with God, if you're not prepared for heaven, if you don't know, or you're lost and you want prayer, I'm going to ask how many of you will lift your hand and say, Michael, pray for me. If you want prayer, I want you to lift your hand right now. One, two, three, lift it up. Oh, hands are going up everywhere. There's 50, maybe 70 hands lifted, maybe more. Come on, we're waiting on you. There are already many people with their hands lifted. Please, I need to do something. Young man, come right up the stairs. If you've got your hand lifted, come out of the crowd. Come on, come on, wherever you're at. If you've got your hand lifted, come up. Just move through the crowd. Come right on upon the platform. Come on, if you lifted your hand up, come on, come on, come on, keep coming. If you've got your hand lifted, come on. Come right up on the platform. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, that's it. Come on, come on, come on, come on now, come on now, now. Don't hold back. Come on, keep coming. Don't hold back. Not now, not this moment. Don't be afraid. Be bold, be bold, be brave. Come on, come on, keep coming wherever you are. Fight through the crowd. They don't mind. Come on, shout. Come on, come on, come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Oh, don't stop. Don't hold back. Not now. This is your time. This is your moment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't you hold back now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Now, they've already prayed a sinner's prayer as they did it with you. But now I want you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we stand on top of these shatterings from the idol, we break the powers of darkness and sin off of your life now in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. These belong to the living God. They are the sheep of his pasture. From this day forward, they will follow you and serve you with all of their hearts in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands, clap, shout, dance, rejoice.